I'm Hannigan Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestazen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
So, most of you know us, but for those who don't, welcome to the Fuckboy Podcast. We're a podcast where we delve into some of the most iconic, reprehensible, and shaggable fuckboys.
And girls.
And folk. None of you are safe.
Who grace our screens, novels, and history books and ask, why?
So on this episode, the beautiful Catherine is taking us on a journey through the web-spinning multiversal world of everyone's favourite friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man. Ooh. And of course, we'll be hearing your best fuckboy or fuckgirl or fuckfolk stories at the end of this episode. But first, how we all doing?
Good. Better than Hannah.
Hannah is once again on death's door.
Honestly, I've been on death's door for what feels like an eternity. When will I ever be well again?
Are you taking medicine? I know this is an obvious question, but I feel like in this situation I need to ask.
Do you know what, Hanako? No, because I
what medicine would you take?
You'd take Lemsip, yeah. You'd take paracetamol.
Yeah. Just feel like I'm one of those people where it's almost like, I don't know, it's like infringement upon my honour to take medicine. Like, it's like a really toxic trait of mine, yeah. To be like, I don't need it. I would rather die than take a Lemsip.
My brain doesn't even go there. Like, my brain will be like, oh, well, I'll walk a mile to find the nearest lemon and ginger tea bag. I don't know how far a mile is. Rather than be like, oh, I have paracetamol in my cupboard.
I would sooner sacrifice a lamb and drink the blood of a virgin than take a paracetamol. That's for sure.
Why?
I honestly have no idea. I think it's because I'm like, oh, all those chemicals, they can't be good for you. Even though I like, I don't know, drink loads of alcohol. I was really
live in London
a couple of nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like that weird evil myth about e-numbers. Like, it's fine, people. It's okay to take paracetamol.
Take paracetamol and eat blue Smarties.
Exactly. Yeah. In that order.
So with all my newfound time due to my unmedicated
illness.
What
are you on about time? You don't have any time, Hannah. You're always seeing people doing stuff. This is why you're ill.
This is true, but what I'm saying is I have been winding down ever so slightly. Okay. And I have been... Okay, everyone has recommended to me The Seven Wives of Evelyn Hugo. Have you heard of that book?
No.
Oh my God. It is a book that I literally cannot put down. I haven't had this in so long. It's like the highlight of my day is looking forward to reading this book.
No.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
The Seven Husbands of Evelyn. Did I say The Seven Wives?
Yeah.
That's such a Freudian slip. That's on brand for me. Yeah. Well, it is a queer book, mm-hmm. but
I have heard
it's called
this.
The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And honestly, I'm like halfway through and I'm already wishing that I hadn't read it. Do you know what I mean? You're like, I wish I hadn't read it so I could read it again already and I haven't even finished it.
Yeah.
It's so good, guys. You have to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I want you to read it as well because I'm dying to know.
To talk about it.
Who you would cast as Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, that's so fun. Me, obviously, I would cast
her.
Well, the thing is, she's, I believe she's Mexican. She's like half Mexican. But she gives
maybe
me
not.
The same energy as Carol. Like Kate Blanchett's Carol. Yeah.
Ooh, this is very exciting.
So I need you guys to read it. And anyone who's listening who's read it, at me.
Can we talk about this train guy that I'm obsessed with on Instagram, please?
Yes. Apologies for not replying to your message about this. Because actually,
it's
you know
fine,
what?
You're dead to me.
I've been overwhelmed by my phone. It happens to the best of us. But I will say that I have been on the train guy hype for a long time.
Have you?
I mean, I got on that choo-choo train yesterday and I haven't gotten off since.
Real? Very good. Very good.
Honestly, so for listeners who are like, who the fuck is this train guy? He is this guy called Francoise Bourgeois _43 or something like that on Instagram. He's also on TikTok.
He's massive on TikTok. He is a TikToker.
He's a TikToker. There we are. You've heard it here first. And he is a train spotter and he's like obsessed with all the trains basically, and his passion is just it's incredible to watch.
It's really lovely because he is so overly excited by these trains. It's incredibly endearing. But the thing that is most funny about this story is that Hanako sent us the most deranged video of her hysterically
weeping. Yeah.
About this train guy.
And cackling as well. Like, weeping and then cackling at the fact that she was weeping at a video of a person watching trains. I genuinely thought it was either going to be a six-year-old child or an 80-year-old man. Like,
no.
I thought levels of response to this. Nope, just a normal guy like you and me.
Yeah. Hanako, have you seen the video about him defending himself being a train spotter?
Yes, it's beautiful. That's the first video that I watched.
Yeah. Is she going to cry again?
She's on the brink.
Honestly, I don't know what it is. I think it's his passion for something so simple and pure that makes me realize how sort of ungrateful I am with the world, and actually makes you feel like a kid again watching his videos. Like, he just gets so excited by these trains.
Yeah.
And it's just so lovely.
It does quite remind me of my mum. Like, we've had the same train at the end of our garden for my whole life. And every time she sees it, she goes, "Oh, the train!" It goes by really once cute. An hour. And she, no, twice an hour. Now four times an hour. And every time she's like, "Oh, look, the train."
There's something so magical about trains.
Yeah, I mean, it's magical.
I love trains, but I don't love them as much as this guy.
No, he's
but I kind of wish I did.
But I don't think it's even necessarily that he loves trains. It seems to be the phenomenon that's like gripped the nation, or, you know, however you want to put it, is that he has attempted to be a bunch of different people within his lifetime and then finally accepted who he is and what he loves, which is trains. But that might be, you know, the reality of you know, the enjoyments that you have, your sexuality, your culture, whatever it is, and fully embracing that and being like, I feel at peace with myself. And just that is so magical to watch. And I think that's what's so special about him.
Aww. Yeah. And like, just his kind of, he's not censoring himself. He's not trying to be cool. He's not trying to be clever. He's not trying to be anything other than just a dude who fucking adores trains. Yeah. And it's just so inspiring.
It is.
So, back to my one true love.
Yeah.
Let's get into today's fuckboy.
Spider-Man does whatever Spider-Man does.
Is that from Family Guy?
No, it's from the Simpsons movie. Simpsons. It's also Spider-Pig. Spider-Pig does whatever Spider-Pig does.
Can he swing
from a web?
No, he can't. He can because he's a pig.
He's a Spider-Pig. My favourite Spider-Man film has the Spider-Pig in it, and I just need you guys all to watch it.
Wait. There's a Spider-Pig beyond the Simpsons movie?
Yes, this is the point. The Spider-Verse film has all these cool characters in it.
Oh my God.
Oh, you've got to watch it. It's so good. It's the best fucking film ever. I'm not going to talk about it today. I'm going to talk about some of the characters in it, but I'm not going to talk about it today because...
You're not going to talk about Spider-Pig? I'm out.
I'm out. I am out. I don't want to ruin them for you.
I came here for pig, pork, content, and that is it.
I came here for pigs in blankets.
I want to talk about pork and porking, and that is it.
So let's get into today's fuckboy. So I've chosen Spider-Man because obviously one of the biggest cinema-going experiences of this year has to be the brand new multiverse and mind-bending extravaganza that is Spider-Man No Way Home. The most anticipated film for 2021 fans of the Marvel franchise. With Kingpin popping up in Hawkeye, which is the new Disney Plus series, Venom and Morbius getting their own Sony blockbusters, and Marvel and Sony's new Spider-Man film, it's prime time for Spider-Man. So, I'm going to be taking you into the Spider-Verse and all the many fuckboys it has to offer just after this. So, before we dig into the Spider-Verse, I want to tell you a little bit about the Spider-Man film No Way Home, that has just come out with like Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
Massive, massive, massive film. So it's the fourth film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Phase 4, following Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Eternals. Oh,
so
Shang-Chi
good.
Was so good.
It stars, good,
wasn't it? Stars Tom Holland as Peter Parker, also known as Spider-Man. Zendaya as MJ. Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Jamie Foxx as Electro. Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. And perhaps a few more surprises that I won't spoil for you if you haven't seen the film already.
Ooh, you are making me want to watch it now.
Yeah,
Kat.
And it's so interesting because I've seen so many videos on TikTok, obviously, of like Tom Holland, Zendaya, and a couple of other people being like, if you go and see the film, don't spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil
it. Don't tell people what happens because it's such a spoiler-heavy film.
Yeah. My lips
so
are sealed.
Anyone
I've
who
this
hasn't
whole
seen
episode.
It yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not
going to
spoil it. No.
Oh my God, well done.
I'm not going to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. It's such a big franchise, so I'm not lacking material.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you need to have seen the other Spider-Mans to watch this Spider-Man?
There are Easter eggs in it.
Yeah.
That would be fun if you've seen all of the Spider-Man films. Mm-hmm. But there are some Spider-Man films that I haven't seen, and there are some that I've literally not seen since I was like 10.
Yeah.
And the film still worked perfectly for me. I've seen all the MCU films.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know if you would have had to. But obviously it makes it more fun. I would say watch all of the Tom Holland films, especially number two.
Okay.
Because it follows
just after
the
end. Is number two
the
one when he goes on a school trip?
School trip. Summer holiday.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Got you. That's the one that I have seen.
Okay, so I think you'd be fine to watch it. And I still think you'd get
it. Great.
Okay, so the franchise alone has 8 incredibly famous standalone Spider-Man films starring Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland. It boasts the critically acclaimed Spider-Verse films, which was one of the only animated films not made by Pixar to win an Oscar in the last few years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this year alone has seen the Venom film, and next year we'll see, as I said earlier, the origin story of Morbius, plus many more films as early as the 70s, and obviously this massive comics canon. So I don't think we realise how much Spider-Man has actually just permeated our brains. Watching that film, I didn't realise how much I kind of knew about Spider-Man, even the parts that I didn't necessarily love that much, but it's just there.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Can I just say, I only just realised that Tobey Maguire and Elijah Wood aren't the same person.
Oh my
I know.
God.
You told me this the other day.
Yeah, I only just realised it. I couldn't believe it. They are literally the same human being. I don't understand.
So did you think Frodo and Spider-Man were being played by the same person?
Yes.
Bloody hell, what a career.
Affirmative.
Yeah, what a career. Oh my God, I'm shocked. So, who is your Tobey Maguire? Who is your Spider-Man? Tobey Maguire is obviously the OG. Came out in 2002, ran until 2007. Andrew Garfield's films were a little bit later than that, and then Tom Holland has kind of seen the last 5 years.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, go on, Hannah.
Andrew is mine.
Mm.
Yeah, me too.
Those are the films that I saw him with Emma Stone.
Oh. Their
Although,
chemistry.
The upside down kiss.
Yeah.
Is that them or is that...
No.
No, that's Tobey Maguire.
That's Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
And that for me is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Same.
Me too. That was my first memory of Spider-Man. Totally. That really stuck in the old brain. What is it about that kiss?
It's upside down, baby.
And it's also... There's something about it,
that'll
isn't
do
there?
It.
The way
there's something about it, though.
He pulls his mask up but not off.
Yeah. And is it raining?
No, they're on a web, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on a web. It would have... Come on, it's got to be raining. It's Hollywood.
In an alleyway.
Yeah.
At night.
He's
it's so hot.
Yeah, I know. It is,
it's hot,
it?
But also cold because it's drizzling.
Thank you. So, I definitely remember him as like this fun-loving, quick-talking guy, which is more the Tom Hollandy, Andrew Garfieldy kind of character who got bit by a radioactive spider. So it varies depending on who your Spider-Man is. But I'm going to tell you about his debut comic, which was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, called Amazing Fantasy. And his origin story goes something like this. So Peter Parker is an orphan, raised by his Aunt May and Uncle Ben in New York City after his parents died in a plane crash. Lee and Ditko had the character deal with the struggles of adolescence, financial issues, and gave him loads of supporting characters like J. Jonah Jameson, Harry Osborn, who put a pin in that guy. He has romantic interests like Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane Watson.
Gwen, because that's who played that's Gwen?
That's Emma. Emma.
That's Emma Stone. She's not, because I remember always being like, what?
What? What about MJ? Yeah, exactly. And then also foes such as Dr. Octopus, the Green Goblin, Venom.
It's so funny, isn't it, how they're like, these villains are just hilariously named. Like, they're hilarious.
Green Goblin.
The Green Goblin.
Mr. Octopus?
Doc Ock. His name is Dr. Otto Octavius.
Come on,
bros.
That's not scary.
It's Venom. So camp.
Venom is Tom Hardy, right?
Venom is, yeah, has just been taken over by Tom Hardy.
Who's Alligator Man, aka Risa Fans, in green makeup?
The lizard guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's in the Andrew Garfield run. There's always like these crazy scientists who get this mad idea and then they get taken over by their experiment and it's too much for them and they can't handle the monster they've created. All of Spider-Man is very like impaled upon his own sword. He won't kill anyone. They always end up killing themselves, ruining their lives, becoming obsessed with Peter and trying to kill him. So Peter gets, you know, similar. He's bitten by a radioactive spider. Again, science experiment. He's a very intelligent guy. It gives him spider-related abilities, including clinging to surfaces, superhuman strength and agility, and detecting danger with his spidey tingle. He also, little genius, builds wrist-mounted web shooters that shoots webs of his own design.
Wait, that's not coming out of his wrist?
Interesting question.
God.
In the first three Spider-Man films with Tobey Maguire, it comes straight out of his wrist. But in the comics, he builds web shooter devices and puts web fluid that he has created into the wrists. And that's
that he himself has created from his bum, or?
No, from a science experiment. So Peter's a really, really
smart
kid.
From his bum, did you say?
From his bum.
Yeah, that's what spiders do, right?
It doesn't, because he makes it. Yeah. He makes it in his school science lab and then puts it in these clever little shooters that he's made.
Having but your superpower be that you shit webs.
Better story.
Is probably about as lame as being an octopus villain. So,
hey, it's better than just plain old poop.
This is true.
This is true.
But what would happen to your poop? We digress.
We circle back to the main topic.
We circle back.
These are the big questions that everyone's on everyone's lips currently.
Everyone is on tenterhooks.
Are Tom Holland and Zendaya a real item?
Honey, we're coming.
Has anyone ever shit a web? These are the questions, again, the big cues.
We're answering them. We're giving you what you want. So Peter Parker, despite pooing webs, does not seem like a fuckboy. But like any hero, there are always casualties on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'd say the most famous romantic love interest of Spider-Man is Mary Jane Watson, or MJ. Other one is probably Gwen Stacy. However, in his decades-long comic run, he has also been romantically linked to Felicia Hardy, Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane Watson, I know I've said them, Betty Brant, Carly Cooper, Michelle Gonzalez, Liz Allen, Deborah Whitman, Sissy Ironwood, Sarah Bailey, Silver Sable, Natasha Romanoff, Carol Danvers, Julia Carpenter, Cindy Moon, Lian Tang, and Bobby Morse.
Is Bobby Morse a man? A boy?
No, we could only hope.
I'm sorry. Gutting. Can I just ask, does Peter Parker / Spider-Man remain the same age?
It's a good question.
Because he is cleaning up consistently for like a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, he
maybe
gets
he's
older.
Peter Pan in disguise.
Yeah.
Similar and vibe. That is the true mystery of Spider-Man, is that actually he's Peter Pan.
The web thickens.
Bit of a man child.
Yeah, so he does age. His age, comics is wild. There's like multiple Spider-Man universes. They get to an age, then they get made younger again. These comics have been running since 1962. Like, they've got to
he's
do
like,
something.
He's like a reverse dog. It takes 7 years for him,
to age.
To have 1 year's
exactly
age,
that. Yeah, exactly that. So the only woman he's ever married is Mary Jane Watson. However, in a comic called One More Day, Mephisto, we're not going to get into who Mephisto is. He's like a witchy guy. Altered reality so that Peter Parker forgets Mary Jane Watson.
That's savage. It's like Dear John, isn't it?
It is savage. So, Mary Jane Watson, Peter Parker's longtime love interest in the comics and films. Kirsten Dunst plays her as maybe a little bit of a fuck girl with Tobey Maguire.
Ooh.
Zendaya plays her, though now she's called Michelle Jones Watson, in the new trilogy. The relationship sizzles, especially the Tom Holland-Zendaya relationship that has everyone talking if they're now together in real life. I mean, I think
he is looking fine right now.
Hot.
I think, so I already told this to Kath, but I think him and Jake Gyllenhaal had a chat and Jake Gyllenhaal was like, look, Tom, you want to get the girls, you've got to wear a watch that's above $5,000. You've got to grow your hair out. You've got to wear it coiffed and slightly back. You've got to bulk up. You've got to wear the tight t-shirts. And that's exactly what he's done. And oh, baby.
He has.
He's looking tasty.
It is working. So yeah, in the comics, these two characters get married, but the course of true love never did run smooth. In the comic One More Day, a clear influence for the new Spider-Man film, Peter strikes a deal with Mephisto to trade his marriage to MJ, the life they could have had, and their future child for the life of his Aunt May. So they agree to split up and not remember each other, that they were ever married.
God.
To save Aunt May's life. So this comic ends with MJ leaving, no memory of ever marrying Peter, and Peter has no memory of ever marrying her.
Aww.
So this means Peter Parker is once again unleashed on the dating world, and a number of new interests are introduced into his life. So the first is his roommate, Michelle Gonzalez. Keep it off your doorstep, Peter.
She sounds hot.
She does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Big, big, big key theme for Spider-Man is like maybe date. Like maybe just try a tiny bit harder not to date the people who are in your immediate circle, like living with you or working with you. Like maybe.
Especially because he can move so quickly from A to B with his little spider webs.
He's not struggling to get around. Yeah.
No.
It is true. It is a good point. So Michelle was initially critical of Peter, but after a drunken one-night stand, it led to a very brief, mostly one-sided relationship. Has a fuckboy been born? Peter can't deal with the relationship, so he moves on. And he's like, nah, babe.
What, he leaves the flat?
This. Yeah, he leaves. He's like, nah, I can't be with you.
He moves house.
Yeah, he's like, well, they sometimes work together and they stay allies, but like...
God, the amount of paperwork involved in that dumping.
Yes. Oh, savage, isn't it? He then has a flirtatious relationship with Ms. Marvel herself. So this is all comic book canon. So who knows if this will end up in the MCU. So yeah, Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers, played by... Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
In the comic books, there's a flirty thing going on there. I don't know if we'll get it in the films. It's unlikely because of, you know, the way that they've decided to cast it. Yeah. He then dates Carly Cooper, who breaks up with him after finding out about his double life as Spider-Man. Would you break up with someone if you found out as Spider-Man?
Absolutely not.
You'd be like, guess, get going.
So cool. You just got 10 times fitter, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. So then he meets Cindy Moon, which it is pure joy and wonder. They have an animalistic attraction because she's also been bitten by a spider. And it
has she? God, yeah. Talk about having something in common. I
know, right? So this like this animal bond in them, and it develops into an uncontrollable passion when in close proximity.
Uncontrollable?
Oh my God, uncontrollable. What does this mean?
Bloody hell, get a grip.
Like, comes into
Cindy Moon. Cindy Moon sounds like a cool character. Cindy Moon. I would quite like to play her.
Oh my God. Start reading. Be like, I've got a character idea for you, Marvel. I'm coming for
you. It's not Marvel.
At Marvel. Listen, yeah, got some
actually
thoughts.
To be honest, that is what Simi Lu did, and look where he is now.
It's so true. He did harangue them. True.
Yeah. He was like, added them on Twitter and was like, I think it's time for an Asian Marvel superhero.
I think I can do it.
5 years later, he's fucking Shang-Chi.
I know. This is incredible. True. So we do actually have someone next who is a bit more a fuck girl to him than he is to her.
Well, it's about bloody time, isn't it?
I know. This boy needs putting in his place. So her name is Lian Tang. She's covertly working for a nemesis of Spider-Man. It's classic comic book betrayal. So they've been like working on this project together, and then he ends up finding out that she is actually working for this terrible organization, has been giving them all of these like secrets and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Eventually she does turn sides, but the relationship never recovers. So Peter does have a penchant for dating colleagues. And the next colleague that he goes for is SHIELD agent Bobby Morse. Unfortunately, not a man.
Oh, alas, alack.
So Bobby Morse, also known as Mockingbird, worked closely together. Their mutual attraction developed into what looked to be a promising romantic relationship. However, they soon broke up after discovering little in common besides their work.
She wasn't bitten by a spider.
She wasn't bitten by a spider. It's just never going to work out. So I'm sure you guys are wondering, where does Peter fit into this fuckboy business?
Yeah, I was wondering that, Kath.
I was thinking that a lot. I really want from this moment. I think he falls into like general nice guy territory. He's a little bit pick me with MJ.
Yeah.
Like a bit pick me. And then veers into Mr. Narcissist at times.
Really?
I was thinking, is he a man child? But no.
Well, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. I think if he was a man-child, he would crumble.
Yeah. He gives me Gryffindor Mr. Narcissist vibes.
Yeah, he's very Harry Potter energy, isn't it?
Same
vibe. He is. Very much so.
Yeah, very same vibes. So, I think we can kind of let him get away with his fuckboyery. We can forgive him, right?
He's got a lot going on, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a
dead
lot.
Dead parents, mutation. It's stressful out
it's
there.
It's the usual
big
gaff.
Octopus man coming after you.
Yes. Which, speaking of, there are some fuckboys in the Spider-Verse that we just cannot forgive. And that is, of course, the iconic villains of these comics. Mm. So we'll start with that villain that we have been talking about, who you probably know best, Dr. Otto Octavius, also known as Doc Ock. Not a scary name.
But maybe that's part
but
of his
But it
charm.
Rhymes.
It does rhyme. He comes off endearing. You underestimate him. You think, a man who pretends to be an octopus, what's he going to do? And it turns out, a lot.
This character, Doc Ock, has been portrayed by the greats, from Catherine Hahn to Alfred Molina. He's highly intelligent.
Catherine Hahn!
Spider-Verse, watch it.
Oh my God.
Watch it. He's highly intelligent, myopic, and mad. A scientist who sports a machine with four strong, durable arms represented.
Four?
I know. Oct. It's in the name.
What?
Oct.
What?
Look, listen up, lads. Yeah. I don't know who... How'd you get that through? I feel like someone there should have flagged it. Feel pretty obvious, TBH. Four. That's more of a like, I don't know, what is it serving me like?
Dr. Quad.
It's not as good,
is it? It's not good. It's just not as good.
Do you think they're including his personal limbs?
Because then it would be six.
They must be.
No, arms and legs.
Famously. Arms and legs.
Yeah, well, I mean, they all...
Famously, that's why then.
Okay, that's why. Thank God we figured that one out.
But you can't do much with your legs.
Like... I was really worried. I actually saw the whole of the Sony, you know, Spider-Verse crumbling before our eyes because we just torn it to shreds on this podcast.
I know.
How would they ever have recovered?
Okay, so his octopus tentacles, only four, not ok, extend from the back of his body and can be used for various purposes. However, after his magical harness became permanently fused to his body during a lab accident, so he turns to a life of crime and comes into conflict with the superhero Spider-Man. His fuckboy highlights reel includes, he loves kidnapping people, including Aunt May, Gwen Stacy, MJ, Black Cat, Betty Brant. This guy is obsessed.
He's obsessed with kidnapping women as well.
He just loves kidnapping women. He just like dangles them in front of Spider-Man and is like, come and get them.
And Spider-Man's like, ha ha, you only have four arms.
Okay, so in the comics, he takes over Spider-Man's body, starts a relationship with a college student as Peter Parker.
That's so creepy.
So he's like, creepy. He's not catfishing, he's octfishing.
Yeah, he's like, octopus-fish. It's so gross. Yeah, but he's like... in his body. Creepy, 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 creepy.
Oh my
creepy.
God, that's so disturbing.
I know. So he's so obsessed with Peter. It's like his number one driving force in life to end Peter. No one's that obsessed with anyone unless you're in love with them.
Is it though?
Or like, he's a pygmy.
The end goal is to fuck Peter.
Yeah, it sounds fruity.
Yeah. The end goal is to fuck Peter. He's completely in love with him. He's just a pygmy for Peter. He also starts a supervillain team to end Spider-Man called the Sinister Six. Bad fucking...
God, he's obsessed with numbers, isn't he, this bloke?
He's obsessed? Yes. Oh my God, he actually is. Jesus. He is obsessed. Jesus. So we move on to a villain who you may not know yet, but is sure to make some great appearances in upcoming MCU projects. Mm. It's Kingpin. Very little is known about the Kingpin before he took commands of the East Coast mobs. His name is Wilson Fisk. He's one of the most feared, dangerous, and powerful crime lords in the Marvel Universe. Usually...
I'm seeing like a cane and a top hat and a big old coat. So you're seeing a
pimp. Literally. Yeah, that's literally what he wears.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly what he wears. He has like a cane and a white suit. He's massive.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a genius.
I saw him as very tall and slim.
Oh no, he's like famously
big old
massive bloke. He was introduced as an adversary of Spider-Man, but later went on to menace other Marvel heroes, becoming the arch enemy of Daredevil, who we will definitely be doing an episode on at some point.
Yeah.
As well as recurring foe of his adoptive daughter, Echo, and Hawkeye, who you will find in the Hawkeye series.
Oh.
He's got big nice guy energy. He always thinks that the terrible things that he is doing is just to save the world. So his highlights reel includes a tumultuous relationship with his wife, Vanessa Fisk. He really does the nice guy treatment on her. She's like constantly in danger due to his criminal lifestyle that she disapproves of. But he refuses to stop and is just like, I just love you, I love you, I love you. So she can never leave him. She's always in danger. He kidnaps people. Again, these guys love kidnapping people.
Huge fan.
What the hell?
He kills his own dad.
Don't do that.
No.
Yeah, I know. No. Don't do
that. It's a bad idea.
It's not great.
It's giving me Oedipus and I'm not here for
it. I'm not fucking with that. So when his wife briefly leaves him, she has to go into hiding because Fisk is pursuing her so relentlessly.
Get a hobby.
Is Kingpin and Fisk the same person?
Yeah, Wilson Fisk is the Kingpin.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have said that one.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know, he's grim.
She's in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, she totally is. Yeah. Oh, God, it's actually awful. She's in such an abusive relationship that she ends up killing their son when their son tries to kill Kingpin. Yeah, it's awful.
Oh,
he's such a bad bloke. When his wife then dies, he starts a relationship with someone in his employment. Always a bad move. Mm-hmm. To be fair, she is an assassin, but still a bad move.
Cool.
He starts a relationship with a woman named Marta when he decides to peace sign, move to Spain and live the quiet life post all the mass murder and mafia style violence. When his old criminal alliances find out, they track her down and murder her and her children. But he's like, bro, I just wanted a holiday and to find love.
This is very Greek tragedy.
Yeah. This guy is bad. He loves women. It's just a shame they all end up dead.
Very James Bond.
Very James Bond. Yeah, very much so.
Okay, so, he's definitely the worst so far.
He's a bad, bad bloke. But I want to end on someone who toes the line between friend and foe. You've seen him in the films, played by James Franco. And I want to take you through his fuckboy highlights. So we know Peter Parker isn't a perfect hero. I've told you about a couple of truly awful villains of Marvel. But now we go to the friend of Peter to dig into. Harry Osborn, played by James Franco in the films. Harry is the best friend of Peter Parker and the son of Norman Osborn, also known as the Green Goblin.
James Franco also often plays fuckboys, doesn't he?
Oh my God, yeah.
He is a fuckboy in real life, right? He's done some really dodgy shit with minors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a big thing about it about 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. He was DMing these like underage girls and getting them to send pictures and things like that. I believe.
Jesus Christ.
Haven't looked at it in a while, but yeah, he is definitely not a nice guy.
So after his father, the Green Goblin, dies, Harry takes on the mantle himself to avenge his father's death against Spider-Man. He's good looking, he's wealthy, and extremely privileged. He's a bit of a narcissist.
How all fuckboys are born.
Isn't it? It's exactly how they're
born. The perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also a bit of a soft boy. So, his highlights reel includes dating MJ when he knows that his best friend Peter has been crushing on her hard.
Oh,
he even uses one of Peter's own chat-up lines to get MJ.
No!
What the fuck? Yeah.
What's the line?
It's not a good one. It's about spiders. He's like, did you know that spiders change colour to, like, protect themselves? And she's like, cool.
What?
Yeah, it's a bad trap line. But she's like,
cool. I feel like if she's into that, though.
Yeah. Honey, Pete's go for Spider-Man.
He's got a little leg up there.
He got legs. So in another multiversal universe, Harry asks out Gwen Stacy, who's the other woman that Peter is always fucking crushing on. I know. Grim. So he then pops the nail in the coffin and he becomes the Green Goblin and tries to kill Spider-Man. After seeing his father die in a battle against Spider-Man, Harry swears vengeance and dons the mantle himself.
So does he know you that think you'd learn? Peter Parker is Spider-Man?
I don't think at this point he does.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
He's weirdly obsessed with Peter Parker.
Again, he's
in
love.
Why would you actively opt in to be a goblin?
I know. And what such a creepy mask.
Oh, actually, so
to be
scary.
Fair, Willem Dafoe is so good as the Green Goblin.
He's so good. He sells so it. Scary.
He's so scary.
Yeah.
And he's got great hair. Like, really great hair. Have a look at... we'll obviously post a picture on Instagram. He's got really good hair in the film.
Makes all the difference.
Makes all the difference. He's got that flop.
You'd become a goblin just for the hairline.
Yeah. I do have some goblin-y kind of features. Don't want to boast.
You give us goblin chic with that hair, Catherine.
Yes.
Goblin glamour.
Yeah. So, not wanting to hurt Harry, Spider-Man / Peter tries his best not to fight him, but unfortunately, he ends up dead. It's a sad story and a tale as old as time to avenge the father. But did you have to fuck with Peter's girls on the way?
No, you didn't, honey.
The reality is, Peter Parker's Spider-Man launched in 1962. And when you've been hanging around that long, you're bound to end up doing some rogue things. And lucky for us, everyone's favourite friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man is still out there swinging.
Aww. Yeah, baby.
So out of Harry, Kingpin and Doc Ock, fuck, marry, kill.
I'd kill Doc Ock because he, of the tentacles and the obsessiveness and just the general sort of insanity.
Yeah.
I'd probably fuck Kingpin because he sounds quite hot.
Oh, that's toxic.
But I wouldn't marry him because I don't want to get murdered by a mob.
Yeah, true.
So he's I'd marry Harry because he's rich and hot and charming and has some good quals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do the same, but I would do the marry purely to procreate with a strong hairline. Keep that in the genetics.
Keep the girls going. Maybe I would do the same, but I think I'd maybe marry Doc Ock because he does have he does have a redemption arc. And I think he's actually okay at this point in comics. But no, I take it back. He's done such rogue things. Yeah.
He also is in love with Peter Parker. He's also in love props.
Oh, that's so true. Maybe
he also has four arms, which is just so stressful.
That could be a huge asset. You don't know.
So Hanako, do you have a listener story for us?
I do indeed.
Yay.
Yeah.
So this is from a lovely listener. I once went on a first date with a guy who kept pretending to be a talk show host.
Oh my god.
In what sense?
We would be having a totally normal conversation and then he'd turn his back to me and then whip around all dramatic to face me and say verbatim, Ariana Grande, she's had a tough year, hasn't she? Or Leonardo DiCaprio, he's let himself go, hasn't he?
What?
It was so weird. And to top it off, he tried to kiss me mid-date and then said he had a late dinner with another girl, so had to go.
Stop.
What? The fuck?
Oh my god, that is Mr. Narcissist on another level, isn't
it? Oh my god, I actually cannot believe
that. He thinks he's his own main character. And tortured artist,
he really thinks that he's a fucking amazing host.
How disconcerting.
Imagine.
Suddenly,
also, kiss mid-date. What are you talking about?
Don't
kiss me. I bet
it was a
lunging
kiss. Yeah, it was a lunging kiss.
There is nothing worse than when a person is sat opposite you at a table and they have to lean forward across and then you know they're semi-squatting and you're kissing and you know their thighs are burning.
Yeah, that would give you the ick. That's such a good ick. You just think about someone squatting as they lean over the table to kiss you.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You think about what's happening under the table, that little squat.
His legs are trembling.
Oh, no. Legs are trembling.
Ew.
That's a trembling. That's like, not in a good way.
And honestly, those will be the only legs that tremble that evening.
Yeah.
Truly.
A fact. Facts.
I am so sorry.
I am so
sorry. To that listener for that experience. Absolutely. Grim.
Deranged.
Fair enough. Do you know what? Would you be into it if it was a bit of a Fleabag-esque turn to the camera, just giving it all, you know, a wink and a nudge?
Well, famously, no one sees them.
There wouldn't be a camera there. It would just be the two of you on a date and you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Are you okay?
It might be slightly deranged. Stop. Which is quite funny.
Deranged.
Utterly deranged.
Links for all our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out. Next week, we're swinging out of the Spider-Verse and delving into the internet's favourite murderer, Joe, from You.
Yeah! In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you are listening.
And if you have your very own fuck folk story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com, or slide into our DMs. We really want to hear from you.
Yes, and you can find even more fuckbory on that Instagram and on Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Anya.
We're coming for you.